79 that the electioneering of Bergoglio disqualified him. The church is under the Code of Canon Law 1983. Whether we like it or not, whether you think good, bad, or indifferent, that is what our Lord has saw fit to bind himself to at this time for us. And quite frankly, I think it is divine providence. So we have such a clear and accessible code of canon law written and given to each one of us, of the faithful. The opposite, in addition to the code of canon law, we have this other document, the Apostolic Constitution, Universi Dominici Gregis. And of course, links are going to be in this note at my website. On the vacancy of the apostolic see and the election of the Roman pontiff. That document, published about 2 years later after the code of 83, expands on the code of canon law pertinent to electing a pope. It was promulgated 3 years after the revised code of canon law, with both John Paul II and Ratzinger signing off on it. It's binding on the church. The relevant sections I'd like to point out are, and I can see I have 79, 81, and 82. I read these sections and I had found my reason, legal basis, as opposed to just that inkling that Bergoglio's election was a fraud. Consider these statements for yourself. Now this, my friends, consider them for yourself. They are plain and easy to understand. Section 79. Confirming the prescriptions of my predecessors, I likewise forbid anyone, even if he is a cardinal during the Pope's lifetime and without having consulted him, to make plans concerning the election of his successor, or to promise votes, or to make decisions in this regard in private gatherings. Can anyone say Cardinal Daniels and the St. Gallen Mafia? Section 81. Again, my friends, listen clearly. You do not need to have a six-figure debt having attained a degree in canon law to understand this. The cardinal electors shall further abstain from any form of pact, agreement, promise, or other commitment of any kind which would oblige them to give or deny their vote to a person or persons. If this were in fact done, even under oath, I decree, John Paul II, that such a commitment shall be null and void, and that no one shall be bound to observe it. And I hereby impose the penalty of excommunication, laeta sanctiae, upon those who violate this prohibition. It is not my intention, however, to forbid during the period in which the see is vacant, the exchange of views concerning the election. I don't know how more clear it can be that you cannot do half pacts spanning decades, and then into the particular case of Bergoglio to get him on the see while Benedict is still alive. That is, those cardinals involved with that and others are excommunicated. Section 82. I likewise forbid the cardinals before the election to enter into any stipulations committing themselves of common accord to a certain course of action should one of them be elevated to the pontificate. These promises too, should any in fact be made, even under oath, I also declare null and void. It does not matter that the papal elections have been manipulated in the past. Providence saw fit to now have a mode of disqualifying them. Cardinal Daniels cackling about how he was part of the St. Gallen Mafia, which McCarrick was a large, pivotal, founding member almost, that orchestrated the election was a smoking gun for me. So you see how we're going back to time, Vigano, McCarrick, the tremendous scandal within the church, Cardinal Danneels, the electioneering of Bergoglio. Let's stop there because we're going about to transition into another means of just qualifying the Bergoglian supposed papacy. To the next time, my friends. Fides et ratio.